So just to start off, my name is LaVon Wells-Sandberg, and I am a public speaker, global speaker to be exact, and spiritual teacher, and a love activist. And there's a lot of different things that I do, but I'm grateful for the opportunity to share with this group my own experience and answer a few of the questions that I have in front of me. So I will get to that. First and foremost, hold on 1 second, just make sure I've got these questions up here. First and foremost, I thought I had this organized here and I'm organized. All right, here we go. Let's see.
Remember to tell us about your daughter.
Okay.
What happened there?
Okay. So, I was born and raised in Boston, Mass. I currently live in Salt Lake City, Utah, actually Layton, Utah. And a little bit about myself. I grew up living with my father and my stepmother. And at the age of 6, I witnessed the tragic passing of my sister, Sharon. And that basically got me started in the path that I'm on now and the work that I do, along with other experiences. But at the age of 6, I went to wake up my sister and she would not wake up. And my stepmother came in the room and aggressively shook her frail body. And that pressure, just that little pressure on that fragile frame of Sharon, she fell into the dresser and that was her final blow. The initial cause of her weakness is that as children we were starved. My stepmother would have each of us sit at the kitchen table and then point at each one and decide whether or not if they were going to be able to eat. And if she said that you were not going to eat, you had to leave the table. And because my sister was so the youngest and so fragile, of course, it was obvious that she would be the first one to go. The good news is that my father was there and he had the common sense in that moment, maybe not over the months and years that led up to this problem, to take us all in the car with him to the hospital. And my sister Sharon was pronounced DOA on arrival, so dead on arrival. And we lived in a hospital for 3 months and they basically took care of us and brought our strength back up, our nutrition back up, taught us how to eat certain foods again. And then we became instantly wards of the state and we became a part of the system. And I lived in the foster care system until I was 18 years old. And there's so much more to that, but through a lot of trial and error and bittersweet experiences, I'm where I am today. And fast forwarding, I just wanted to talk about the major life shift that took place in my life in 1999 when I became pregnant with my daughter, Kiva. And she came 3 weeks early, premature, and we didn't know what was going on with her. The doctors noted that her heart was beating very lightly, and they just wanted to make sure I was able to give birth to her quickly, which I was able to do, and they immediately incubated her and sent her over to Primary Children's Hospital. At the time, we thought it was a heart condition, and they said it's pretty normal sometimes for babies to have a hole in their heart, it heals itself. Turned out it was something bigger than that. It was something called McCune-Albright syndrome. And the way we found out about this is there was a physician that was walking by her incubator and she was in the NICU at the time and noticed that she had cafe au latte pigmentations on her skin and thought, wow, that's peculiar. And he just felt inspired to reach out to NIH and National Institute of Health out of Maryland, and they asked him to look for other symptoms as well, to look for basically A, B, and C, and he found all three plus D, E, F, G, and much more. And so she immediately became a subject that they were studying from Maryland and giving Primary Children's Hospital all the instructions and all the support and past research they had done on this condition to see if they could assist in her health care. Long story short, we were in and out of the hospitals quite a bit. The last time we were in the hospital, She had coded, and we had her on life support, and she kept being able to breathe a little bit on her own and then not on her own, and they would just either CPAP her or incubate her again, with the life support, put it back on the life support. And one part of the story that I always like to share, and I do share it, is that I've always believed that she would be healed. I had faith that she would be healed. Anybody that was a naysayer or a negative person that walked in a room, anywhere from a doctor or a nurse or a friend or anybody, I would kindly ask them to leave because we only needed believers. And I remember going home and just feeling extremely exhausted, spending so many evenings and early days at this time, she was in the PICU because she was a little bit older. She was 5 months old. And just going home and needing to rest and sitting on the bed and barely laying back on the bed, and my room just filled with this immense amount of a beautiful light, just like a blazing white light in the room. And I began to hear these voices, and they were speaking in unison. And they basically told me that they knew that I believed, and they knew that I had faith that she would survive and that a miracle would happen. But they wanted me to know that she was going to leave and that it was really important for her to leave, and it was her time. And actually, she had stayed a little bit longer than she had intended. And so one of the things that I like to share with people is that, the reason why she came to bear witness to me that there was much more to this life than we can even imagine, and that I did have this life purpose and path, and she was there to show me that path and to give me some guidance on that. And little did I know years later what that looked like, but that is, again, why I do the work that I do. Finally, after that visitation of this brilliant light and these brilliant voices, and they were talking in unison, and you could tell that there was many, and they just began to administer to me and bring me peace. And they just explained to me that when a child leaves or is in the process of leaving, it can be very difficult for them because the connection is so heart-to-heart connection. And when they transition, it becomes a little bit more complicated for them to go. And they just explained all this to me. Like, physically, it was very challenging for them to release and let go because they, speaking personally for myself, my daughter Kiva really wanted to hang around with me a little bit longer. But again, her time and season was already past the timeline that she initially chose to come, is what Spirit told me. So I go into the hospital, and I remember a doctor pulling me aside and just saying, there is nothing else that we can do for her. What do you want us to do? And I thought, how beautiful and how much of gratitude I was in that everything was starting to line up. And I liken it to a fine symphony. Everything came together because the times that she, because there are times that she's crashed and they resuscitated her and brought her back. And I just thought to myself, this is kind of cruel, that she's trying to make this attempt to leave, but because of all of our high tech and alarms on machines and things like that, there was nothing that she could really do. And then I knew at that time that I've got to be the witness and to support her in that transition. And so when the doctor approached me about this, he's like, she's on 16 medications. They're all suppressing the condition. A little bit about her condition: McCune-Albright syndrome, basically cells not functioning and working right. Her body was shutting down. Her endocrine system was not doing or performing its proper function. So, hyperthyroidism, adrenal glands not working, producing too much cortisol, creating Cushing syndrome, creating osteopenia, which is brittle bones. I mean, everything that you can think of was basically going on in this little tiny body. And mind you, she was 5 months old, 7 pounds. And the doctor, again, told me about the 16 medication, just suppressing these conditions and not curing her or healing her. And he's told me, we finally put her on morphine to help her with the pain, because they could tell that she was in a lot of pain. And I told him, because I had that vision, I didn't tell him about the vision, but I had that vision. I said, I want to take her off life support and hold her and assist her in this transitioning process. Now, the piece and the part that I skipped, and sometimes that happens, is that after I had that visitation, about a week later, Kiva, who was on life support, came to me in the dream state. To the dream state, sorry about that, that motion I just made, to the dream state, and sorry, I got interrupted, and basically said, be my voice, I'm ready to go. And so I was able to be her voice in that moment. I was given that opportunity. And so we made preparations for that. We met with the ethics board again. They felt it was the most humane thing that I could do as well. And we basically set up a little altar and ceremony there with a couple of friends in there. And they took her off life support and I was able to hold her. And I remember putting my hand on her heart and remember her giving three distinct deep breaths. And then she was gone, but she wasn't. It's on that third breath, she left the crown of her head and was on the side of me and had her hand on my shoulder. And it was, if I were to describe the feeling, it was just this, I was holding her like this, and there was this immense amount of heat that just went right through me when she left her crown. And it was a bittersweet experience. And I remember the Rinpoche, that was Tibetan Rinpoche, that was next to me ringing the bell when she left her body. And it was just a sacred moment. It was a beautiful moment. And I was able to put her body back into the bed and gather her things. And as I walked out, I heard this voice that said, wait for me, I'm coming with you. And I had a friend with me and I didn't dare say anything to her. But when we got to the elevator, you know, I had my head down and she looked at me and said, did you hear that? So she heard the same thing. So, of course, that's the story about Kiva and her transitioning process and how I got to be sit and stand as a witness for her and to actually be her voice in her transitioning process. So a lot of beautiful things have happened since then. She continues to show up in my life. She shows up in the lives of my clients as well. I get a lot of feedback about that because she, when I'm doing speaking engagements, she's right there. Assisting me and giving me a further insight into the death and dying process, the transitioning process. And believe it or not, I even had a lot of clients that are near-death experiencers that are going through that grief loss process. And I've been able to assist them as well with her support. And of course, just listening to that divine guidance and bringing that information through. So with that said and done, I think what I'm going to do is just jump into the questions. If anything comes up, Craig, that you're thinking about with that story and everything that I said to you, let me know. If not, I'm just going to jump in here and see what these questions are. So I'll be looking down to read the questions. Let's see. Let's see, as we're passing this on. Does your daughter ever talk about COVA? So I'm thinking, are we talking about COVID? Is that correct? Yes. And she has talked about COVID and she said, basically it is an opportunity for us to not, you know, everyone was saying self-isolate. She was very clear. It was about, very clear on self-reflection. It was an opportunity for all of us as a collective, as a group, to really slow down, really take a look. What is all this hustle and bustle about anyway? What is all this about purchasing things and filling up our time and our space while we're here on the planet? You know, just to reflect on all of that, what matters? Family, friends, acquaintances, but mainly to do the inner work, began to bring things up and out of us that deserve to be healing, or the things that have been healed, but we have additional questions into. This was an opportunity for us literally to see within ourselves and to make the necessary shifts and changes if we so deem to, but to just basically get it together. So that that's what she shared with me about that. Let's see, next question. Let's see, please talk about what happened between the time your baby died, and I don't use the word died or death because I think it's a potty word, but at least that's what I was told by spirit, when she transitioned and you got onto the elevator. So between that time, I think I shared that in the story actually, where when she transitioned and her leaving the crown and her standing beside me and putting her hand on my shoulder and this immense amount of heat between me and this Rinpoche, this holy man, that was sitting down at his altar. It was, he even looked at me to say, what is this? I've never experienced this before. So it was even challenging his belief system as well. That's the beauty of that. And just a simple fact that she said, wait for me, I'm coming with you. You know, that was huge. That was huge. Let's see. Okay, so Levon, on your website, you noted a connection with spirit began as a child who experienced many challenges yet worked through them. Let's see, I'm not sure on this question. Would comment on those connections. Oh, okay. So because I was in foster care and even before foster care, because there was just so many challenges in my life and things I had to face at a young age, I also felt very alone, very alone, very alone. But that's those moments where just the feeling of never being alone or feeling connection to angels or feeling connections to spirit or feeling connections, I would just call the connections love, and knowing that I wasn't by myself, and then being able to hear those whispers of, we're here to support you. You may not understand all this right now, but you will. A very close friend of mine, they call him Jesus, but a very close friend of mine and not even connected to any religion or any of that at all, was very prominent in my life because of course I grew up with that, but we just had a very close relationship, and I would have a lot of experiences with him just sitting on the end of the bed and just talking to me like a sister and really being there for me and just offering encouraging words and support. And again, reminding me, I may not understand what I'm going through, but I will as I continue my journey through life. And I've come to find that to be true at the beautiful young age of 53. Yes, I'm 53. So I've been learning a lot, and I'm sure there's plenty more for me to learn. Let's see. To the elevator. Okay, let's see. Do you feel some of us are meant to be in spaces where people transition? I have had my own near-death experience. However, I have been the person of calming and peace as peace for people. Okay, I hope I said that correction. And this is Brittany, and Brittany she's transitioned. She's numerous of times and come back. So if I remember this question, she always seems to be in the perfect place at the perfect time with people that are transitioning. And she's wondering, you know, is it, you know, was I supposed to be there? Am I this, you know, like she said, I've been the calming and the peace for these people when they're going through this experience. Absolutely. We're always in the perfect place at the perfect time. When we're tapped in, tuned in into our own heart, our own inner being, our own spirit. But for her specifically, she's asking this question, is this what I do? This is what a part of what I do. Absolutely. Absolutely. And for some people, this task, not that it's easy, but it is something that naturally comes to them. And for some people, it doesn't necessarily work for them. And so for them not to be there sometimes serves the highest for everyone involved, especially themselves, and maybe for the loved one that's about to cross over, that is waiting for them to leave the room so that they can do that process. because that holding on energy kind of keeps them from transitioning, because they really still want to be there for you. Let's see. If you have time, can you share some things about grieving, the parts that may feel lost after an NDE, things people can do for themselves or ways others can support their loved ones that have experienced NDEs? Says thank you for your beautiful insights. So let's see. The biggest thing, and it sounds like the simplest thing ever, every day sit with yourself. Now, one of the things that Kiva's told me about NDEs is that they've gone to a place and they've had these beautiful experiences. Some will say that their experiences weren't all beautiful. So everyone's different. But she says there's so much more beyond that. That was the beginning stage or the beginning entryway into that experience. And if they went any further in that experience, they would have not returned. And so I thought that was interesting. But the more I do the work and the more I tap in and tune in with spirit, I can see why that is, because there's so much more. And so my daughter's always, reminded me of that. And so when I'm working with NDEs, I really work with them. Some of the tools is just that breathing process. The BGLs, I think we talked about that during our session, breathe, grieve, live. It's like continue to breathe, continue to oxygenate the body, every cell of your being, because there's still more growth there. And this is for anybody that, even if you're not an NDE, you can use the BGLs when you're going through the grief and loss process of a loved one or of self. And so we want to be able to bring that oxygen in so that our cells continue to expand, our body can continue to boost its immune system. I mean, there's a lot of science behind the breathing process, but also it breathes forth new and creative ideas and insights into what's next. So for an NDE, usually there's much more for them to be about and to do when they come back. You know, but there is a sense of things aren't the same. And so hence the grief and the loss will come up and the challenge is there. But if the more that they're willing to be about the BGLs, breathe, grieve, meaning acknowledge the emotions, acknowledge what's there without stuffing it or shoving it away or avoiding it in some way. And then live, that means just go out there and do the gardening. You know, go to the kitchen and wash the dish, dry the dish, put it back in the cupboard and go have a seat. You know, it doesn't have to be out there huge and large and entertaining, but just those BGLs will keep people in tune with their spirit. And the more in tune you are with your spirit, you'll know your next natural step. So usually, like I said before, with NDEs, it's like, now what? Or I do know what to do, but where I still feel this way. Or a certain way. So that means it's about going even deeper within yourself and taking the time to truly connect to your I am presence, your spirit self, and give yourself permission to just be with you and then listen. And then you'll notice that there's instructions or there's insights or there's some guidance, or sometimes there's just nothing. And in the nothingness, you're still being empowered and you're still being, your energy is being increased. It's when we can get quiet and kind of shut out the world for just a little bit. So when we step back into the world, we are functioning at our optimal, perfect rate from moment to moment. Okay, I hope that helps with that. As far as with loved ones, ways others can support their loved ones that have experienced NDE, ask them questions and be mindful and aware that that they've gone through something that is life-altering and life-changing, just simply acknowledging where they're at and being honest and saying, I don't understand, I don't get it, but I would love to just listen to you. Just be the conscious listener. Listen, not necessarily listen to respond. Because if you haven't been there, you really don't have a response, okay? But if they ask you a question, after they tell or share the story with you, then again, for the loved one, take a mindful approach and answer from what you may feel from, of course, your heart and your own intuition, okay? Let's see. Do you sense that although a person may die and a little child, let's see, and a little child, that when they are on the other side, they are older, adolescent, adult? Now, what's really interesting, over a period of time, because I was grieving my baby, my child, Kiva kept coming to me as a child, but I never saw her as a baby. I saw her as a toddler. Then I saw her as a teenager. I saw her come to me through color, huge color for her when she would come to me, because I really resonate with the color green. She would come through with the color green for me. Now when I see her in 2020, and for the last, it's been 20 years since her transition, but in the last 15 years, she comes to me as just this young woman. I would say between the age of 20 and 24, maybe 25. Because we just have this rapport and this constant dialogue. And I don't know, she just comes to me in a way that, and a lot of times they'll come to you in the way that you will receive them. I think any way that she would come to me, I would receive her. But for her, she likes to dress up and do her hair fancy and things like that. And so a lot of times she'll show up with a new outfit or a new hairdo. I recently braided my hair. She loves it when I braid my hair. And recently she was asking me, why don't you get your hair braided? So I went and I got my hair braided. So she likes my hair this way. And she likes to wear hair like this too when she comes through. I know, funny little things. But you know, it also shows us that our relationships do not die. You know, our relationships continue. Our relationships are constantly evolving. If you look at how we do things on this side of the veil versus the what's going on the other side of the veil, it's very similar as far as a mirror. How we do our relationships here, do we truly listen? Do we truly communicate? Do we truly connect here in our physical relationships? Is how we would do it in the realm of spirit. Yes, it's a different frequency, energy, and things like that. But how you communicate well here really serves and assists you with communicating with your loved ones on the other side. So I think that's pretty amazing. And what we do on this side of the veil versus what's going on the other side of the veil, it affects them and vice versa. And again, it shows the oneness and it shows that we're not separate. And a lot of times when I'm talking to a lot of my clients, their loved ones are constantly saying, please, our relationship has an end. And if there's anything I need to be forgiven for, or if they're still upset because maybe we didn't have the best relationship, let's still work on that. I'm just gone physically. I am not gone on a soul level. I am still here, you know. But always remember, being in physicality, you still trump the church. If you say not today and I don't really want to have that connection right now, it gets to be honored because we're still here doing what we're doing on the planet. And it's challenging enough just doing day-to-day, you know, activities and expanding and growing and learning for our own personal versus bringing in additional information or additional visitations and things like that. So for some people, it can be a bit too much. And that is honored, but we want you to know it's available to you. Perfect relationship when they transition. Again, the relationship just expands, okay? And it gets bigger and it continues to grow. Let's see. I'm grateful to hear your story. Some of us struggle because we have prayed for a lifetime at times of grief and loss and just for a glimpse of the other side without getting anything. Can you comment on that? Yes, sometimes when you are going through that grief loss process, the vibration, the energy of sadness tends to be staticky. And that's not a judgment, it's just staticky. And so even if they're coming at you and wanting to visit you and they could be in the very room with you, there's a possibility that you aren't connecting or hearing or sensing or feeling them simply because the energy just needs a little bit of a twerking or shifting. And I call it, you know, shifting your vibration, your energy, your frequency, or even shifting your location. I love that, shifting your location. So if you're in the sadness, honor the sadness, be there for a minute, and then literally move to another spot or another, go outside, go to a different room, and shift your location and shift your mindset. And And that can even be simply by watching a comedy or something that puts a smile on your face and makes you laugh, because what it'll do is it'll lift the frequency up a little bit so that you can meet up with that energy or with that loved one that you're wanting to connect with. Also, the ability to connect with yourself. And again, I believe we talked about this prior. It's very important to have begin to really take this self-reflection during the COVID, to really sit with yourself, communicate with yourself. And the more readily available you are for yourself, you will be readily available for others. It kind of goes along the same line of self-care. We take care of ourselves and replenish our energy, then we give more to our families, right? Our friends, our acquaintances, our jobs. Very similar, okay? Actually the same. Let's see. But also, I do believe, again, if you're finding it difficult to make that connection, then that's when it serves for you to write your loved ones letters. And the more you write letters, or the more you have communication, even if you're not hearing them talk back at you, the more you're willing to do it, you'll begin to start making the connection. It'll just happen naturally. It doesn't have to be forced. Okay. And you'll be able to trust that. And there'll be the serendipities, and there'll be the synchronicities, and there'll be the not so coincidental moments and signs and symbols that'll come to you that will just naturally come to you. It does not have to be forced. It's simply surrendering within the self and really being your best friend and making the connection with yourself that opens you up to really being able to hear and communicate with others. Okay. It works on this side very well and on the other side as well. Let's see. My 20-year-old son died of suicide, and a few years later, a man that I loved also died of suicide, and then a nephew who was only 11. Every day I miss these people, especially my son and my friends, and suicide has been in my thoughts most of my 60-year-old life. What can you tell me about people who die of suicide? Bottom line, they do not transition from this plane alone. They are supported. They are loved. And they are learning. Are we not learning here on the planet? Are we not still in process? So they've just taking their, they've taken their challenges with them. And what I mean by that is that they're still learning how to release and let go and to receive that love and receive that support. The good news is they are encircled and surrounded with love and support. And so all is well, no matter how the transition has taken place. We do say, stay, and when I say we, that usually means spirit tapping in, do stay as, you know, it really supports and it really assists those who are wanting to transition early to stay with us and to stay in their physicality and to reach out for that support and that love. And we know sometimes when you're in the depth of that, it's very difficult to do that. But we do say, stay with us. And when it's your time, you know, it's how do I explain this? I'm trying to put this in words. With suicide, oh, thank you. With suicide, I remember saying this to someone that everybody's situation is different. And it is, again, there's a lot to be said. I'm not a professional when it comes to suicide. I only know that when I've had people that have come through that have committed suicide, they were very apologetic to the family. Yeah, I'll just talk from my experience. They're very apologetic to the family. A lot of times they didn't really mean to do it. Maybe it was an accidental suicide. They, at the moment, was out of their mind as far as not functioning or thinking well. And they, a lot of times they feel like they jumped the gun, so to speak. I don't know if I should be using that word, but they jumped ahead of themselves, and now they can see where they could have still done the work while they were here, but they want their loved ones to know that they are safe and they're okay. And that, you know, in the spirit realms, I liken it to going to school, people in elementary, junior high, high school, PhD, you know, and on and on and on. So there are those relatives and those support teams that are there to assist them in their continual growth. We'll leave it at that. There's continual spiritual growth. And for this young woman, it's like, you know, like she says, 60 years of her life. And it's like, stay with us, stay connected. The simple fact that you're even bringing this up means that you're ready to work through some stuff. And so reach out to those professionals and those that you feel drawn to in supporting you and moving forward in the most brilliant and positive ways while you're still in your physicality, in your physical body. Okay. Let's see. I'm grateful to hear the story. Let's see. Any more questions here? Let's see. This was from Russ and Kathy. They were saying yoga, Tai Chi, Qigong, et cetera, practices all have a breathing component. In your experience as spiritual sensitive, what insights or recommendations do you have about all or any of these practices to increase or enhance our spiritual growth? They are all perfect. The ability to slow down Tai Chi, the ability to stretch and do movement and breath, and to charge the chakra system and the organs within the body, Qigong and yoga, just strengthening the body, but also the spirituality of the self. All of these things actually increase your frequency, increase your vibration, shift your location of emotion, brings you in closer to spirit and your ability to make connection with loved ones that have transitioned. So all the above, I support and recommend 100%. Let's see. Russ and Kathy again. With Kiva passing so young, do you think she had less to learn here on the earth than if she had lived longer to be able to transition? And I do believe I answered this as it wasn't about her learning. There was nothing. She had less to learn. It had nothing to do with that. I got very crystal clear about this as she began to do the work with me, that her sole purpose for coming was to literally wake me up. I was in self-doubt. I was in denial about my life's work. I thought, what is this all for? It's useless. People are going to continue to do what they do, which is true to this day, you know. But now I know I don't have any control over that, only myself to a certain point, right? She came here to show me that there is more to this life experience. There is more in the beyond or in the next life. She came here to point me in the direction of my purpose and my goal, and that is of being a global speaker and being a spiritual teacher and being a love activist. And for a long time, I had medium on my title as well, and that has since shifted with all of these transitions and new life experiences that we're having here on the planet with the, you know, so many protests and with the COVID and with this feeling of separation that's going on the planet right now. And we truly are living in a most auspicious time and season. And it's a great time to be alive, no matter how challenging it looks. So yes, I truly believe that she came here to put me on my path. And because I asked for evidence and proof of, she was the evidence and she was the proof of those things that I had made request about. Let's see. And she did a dang good job. And she continues to do an amazing job. Let's see. It's funny. I can hear her now saying, "You're doing an amazing job, Mom. You're doing an amazing job." And I just want to acknowledge her for that, sitting in here with our question, our Q&A right now. Let's see. From Brittany, all I've been thinking the whole time is there is a book. I know a ghostwriter. Now, this came up because Craig said, based on everything you've been doing and speaking and the work you do, I noticed you don't have a book. And I know you remember that, Craig. I've been thinking about this book for over 20 years. It's time for me to get to it. So when you spoke that, I went, you just had to get that in there, didn't you? Meaning spirit had to get that in there. Keith has been wanting me to write a book. A lot of my loved ones, friends, people that have transitioned, have been whispering in my ear, write the book, write the book. So we will write the book. And that's why Brittany jumped in there and asked about, she shared with us that she kept saying, is there a book? Because she, and I've had this from other people that have said, I can't wait to read your book. Where do I get it? And they'll just say it off a whim. I mean, just out of nowhere. Right. And I'm like, I haven't written it yet. It's all in my heart, but I plan on doing that. I plan on getting that written and start writing that. Believe it or not, okay, my commitment is I will start writing it next week. And I'm excited about that. Let's see. Anything else? Thank you. How did your sister die? Maybe someone came in later when they asked, how did your sister die? Malnutrition, starvation is how she transitioned. And maybe that came from Craig. Also, how do your neighbors and your friends accept you? Well, a lot of them don't really have a clue what it is that I do. They see me on the neighborhood chat, so I'm sure they've checked out my Facebook profile and my business page, The Spiritual Teacher. And they may have an idea, but, you know, they don't say much, but they're pretty friendly. And there's a few of them that have come out and shown their love and support. Even the bishop next door. when I had an open house, he just came over to in my office space to show his love and support. As my neighbor, he said, he's like, I am not coming as the bishop of the neighborhood. I'm coming as your neighbor to show my support. So I thought that was very sweet of him. And another gal down the street came over to show her support and sat around and talked, and we had a blast. And that's it for, I believe, all the questions. But it's Craig, if there's anything else you want to ask, we've got about 5 more minutes, but I just want to thank everyone for this opportunity and having the opportunity to speak to everyone and to answer some of these questions. It's an honor for me, and I'm grateful that you've had me here.
I have a question.
Oh my, why am I not surprised Craig has another question?
How did you arrive here from Boston and come to us here in Salt Lake City?
I got on a bus with my son as a single mom, and engine froze in Wyoming, and then we continued our journey. Yeah, I felt like a pioneer. The journey was intense, but bus from Boston to Utah. I was looking for a change in Boston, and a friend said, go west, and I said, okay, and then I got here and went, what? This definitely is a shift, so there's more to that story, but it brings religion into it, so part of our ground rules is that we don't talk religion, right?
Oh, so anyhow, that's great. Thanks, LaVon. we won't go where we shouldn't go. That's fine.
Exactly. Honoring your wishes and your requests, you know. But I've been many of those different things, and that's why I've got a huge perspective on a lot of different traditions and belief systems, and now I just do what I do.
Okay. Well, I was wondering, you said in one talk, I'm a Bostonian, to the core. And, this is not Boston. I don't know if you've noticed.
It is not. Yes, I did. In my first 3 weeks of getting to Utah and sitting on my couch and being a little bit depressed, like, why did I make this trek? But, it's been one of the most powerful, shifting, spiritual, growing, expansive experience of my life. And there's a lot of awakening, and a lot of people that I've bumped into from all over that have come to Utah, didn't know why they came. And when they got here, they've had some of the greatest awakenings of their lives. So as self-reflection and, a lot of that came up for them. So it's a power point. It's a power place.
Well, okay. Well, thanks, LaVon. That's a great story. I look forward to your book. Get going. And
hold me accountable, Craig. Hold me accountable. I know you're busy, but you feel free to hold me accountable.
Okay. Well, anyhow, this may not be your last time speaking here. So, you know, next time, bring your book.
Okay.
Okay. So okay. Thank you very much. We very much appreciate you taking your time.
No problem. You take care. Okay. Bye-bye.
Bye.